He makes fun of me every chance he gets. So, well, good morning and happy Easter. Amen. And with the cross in the middle today, one thing is clear. I like this side of the church better than that side of the church. So I was going to come down there, but that is the right side. That's true. I was afraid if there were people in the front row that it would be ugly. So, well, today on Easter, we are going to talk about, naturally, Jonah. If you don't know the story of Jonah, I'll kind of go over it real quick. Jonah was a man who lived about 3,000 years ago, and Jonah, God had a call on his life. And if you are a follower of Jesus, a Christian today, you understand you were made for one thing above all else, and that's to be in a relationship with God, and that He has a call on your life. And if you're walking in that, you know how wonderful that is. Jonah had a call. Jonah chose to run away and ignore God and run from that call. His call was to go to a place called Nineveh, which was a city that did exist, of course. Nineveh was full of sinful people, of wickedness, people that were rebellious against God, but that's really all of us. So when you hear that the people of Nineveh were wicked today, don't think like something you see on like Behind the Music, you know, on VH1 or something. They were just sinful people, which before Christ, we are all that. So what happens to Jonah, if you know the story, is he rebels, he runs from God, and Jonah gets caught on a ship, and there's a great storm, and Jonah gets tossed over the side of the ship. We'll get to this in more detail in a moment. Ends up getting swallowed by a huge fish or a whale, we're not exactly sure. And the ending of Jonah is even kind of bittersweet, because all the people that lived in this place called Nineveh that God wanted to repent and have mercy upon and turn to Him, they did, and Jonah was mad about that. But yet, through all this, God still loved Jonah. Jonah was a man running from God. And guys, if you never have, you're lying, because we've all ran from God. Probably some of us here today, some of you here today in this sanctuary are running from God right now. And if you are not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not part of His body, His church, you are not daily seeking Jesus as your Lord and Savior to follow Him, you are running from God. We all run at times. Jonah, to run from God, bought a ticket to get on a ship, to go away from God. We can run from God by thinking that our lives are just ours. I get one life, it's mine, I can do what I want. We can ignore the Bible. We can stay away from church. We can ignore God through relationships that are inappropriate. We can ignore God through willfully living in sin. We can turn the voice of God off that's within all of us with substances. We can turn it off by focusing too much on our job or kids or relationships, even things that are meant to be good. Unless Jesus is Lord of your life and you're daily walking with Him, part of His church, just to be honest, you're running from God. I've ran from God plenty in my life. And the thing about it is, we can run from God, but we can't hide. We can run from God, but we can't hide. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And I'll give you the 20-second version of my story, which I only share on holidays and Easter. But I ran from God for the first 30 years of my life. God had called me into the ministry, and I ran from God by living life my own way. I was probably worse than Jonah. Not only did I get on a ship, I quit going to church. I lived wild and fast and free and immoral and just got so far from God that I ended up separated from my life, from my family, in a United States prison camp in Pine Knot, Kentucky. You see why I don't like talking about that part of my testimony? But it happened. And I was separated from family. I was separated from my life for a brief period of time. And let me tell you what God still speaks to me about to this day is, and I hope you've never experienced anything like that feeling of, what have I done? What am I doing with my life? How did I get here? And God spoke to me and still speaks to me this day that, Micah, I called you into the ministry because there's a whole generation of people. There's people sometimes that sit in church that are one day going to face something that we can't even imagine, which is going into eternity to be separated from God, to be separated from family and loved ones, to go to hell and not heaven. And that's a feeling that none of us have ever experienced anything like that on this earth. There's something waiting for you and I if we aren't walking with Christ, if we haven't accepted God's gift of the cross, His free gift, His mercy, His salvation, what Easter is all about. The reason you're here today is because Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus took your place to die on the cross for you, to shed His blood, the Son of God, to redeem you and make you right to God. And if you have not accepted that, you haven't done what your life is all about, which is get in a relationship with God. And God still speaks that there's something way worse than that you felt that day in 2006, and that's that people are risking going into an eternity without Jesus as their Savior. Eternity's forever. It never ends. So today on Easter, this is what we're going to talk about, is God's love. God loves you and pursues you like He did Jonah. And the reality of heaven and hell, the reason that God pursues you and loves you is because you're His child. He wants more than anything else for you to not go into eternity without being right with Him through Jesus. The thought of that breaks God's heart, breaks my heart. So today is Easter. All around the world, approximately 2 billion Christians in this 24-hour period will be celebrating church today in Easter. We celebrate Easter because God loves us, because Jesus came and He conquered death. We celebrate Easter because of Easter is the whole point of life, is for you to have a relationship with your Creator, with God. And you can only have this now and forever through Jesus Christ, through what happened on the cross. If you have your Bibles today to talk about God's love and to make this point, we're going to go to the book of Jonah. If you're a Bible scholar, you know where Jonah is. If you don't, Jonah is about two-thirds of the way through. It's right before the book of Micah, which, according to my mother, I was named after. According to my father, I was named after the sheriff from The Rifleman. They still argue about it to this day. So it's one of the two. Maybe on their deathbeds, they'll tell me the truth. But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a couple of verses in Jonah 2:2-9. This is a prayer that Jonah offered to God, just to kind of set the stage here. Jonah said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and You heard my voice. For You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The floods surrounded me, and Your billows and Your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of Your sight, yet I will look again toward Your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to You and to Your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to You with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah says in verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And I want to encourage you this morning that God loves you so much and is telling you right here, anything in your life, anything that's keeping you from Jesus Christ is worthless. It's not worth it. Because even good things can keep you from giving your life to Jesus and following Him and accepting God's love. But then they become a bad thing, because nothing is worth your soul. Jonah. Let's go back to Jonah again. He being swallowed and then being expelled and telling to live about it is it's a miracle. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? That someone could get swallowed by, hold on, was this a fish? Was this a whale? Was this a bluegill? They don't get that big. What swallowed Jonah? What in the world? I can actually prove that this actually happened. I can prove this happened because if you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew 12. And in other places, Jesus talks about this. But people were talking to Jesus saying, "We want to see a sign." And Jesus answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So there, this actually happened to Jonah. Because I'm pretty sure that Jesus talked about it, and He did not ever sin and was incapable of lying. Therefore, it really happened. And there's actually a documented case, I believe it was in the 1800s, and I was going to put it all up there, where this happened to a man in Europe, I believe it was, and he was actually swallowed. It was actually a whale. He survived. It messed him up pretty good, but it did happen. But Jesus talking about it proves that it happened. And what Jesus did was draw a straight line between the story of Jonah and Easter in His own death, burial, and resurrection. So to summarize Jonah again, God told him to go to Nineveh and preach against its wickedness. Now remember, wickedness, don't think these people were just really out there and they were like, you know, an 80s rock band, that kind of lifestyle. We've talked in the last few weeks that none of us are good. We're not. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all need the grace that is only found in Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed for you and I. And so don't think these people were just out there. And also don't buy the lie, guys, that being a good person or anything other than being in a relationship with Jesus will save you or I. Only in him. He's the only way, truth, and the life. So God calls Jonah to Nineveh, a city of about 120,000, which was very big for back then. Remember, this is about 2,800 years ago. Okay, there was lots of crime. It was populated by the Assyrians, which were kind of the terrorist event, if you will. They were a bad place. And Jonah wanted nothing to do with Nineveh because he didn't like those people. He didn't like them. He didn't want to go there at all. And so he just kind of willfully ignored God. Are there any areas of your life today where you're willfully ignoring God? An area of sin or an attitude or unforgiveness, not coming to church, not being obedient, not willing to serve? We could go on. Guys, the thing is, we know, you know, and I know if there's areas that we need to work on. So Jonah was willfully disobeying God. And if you were here last week, remember we talked about we're not mistakers, we're sinners. Sin and fall short. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, which I'll use your guys' direction scale, which was northeast. Instead, Jonah went west. God's like, go here. Jonah said, I'm going to go this way. So Jonah willfully disobeyed God. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. And on the way, Jonah learned that you can run from God, but you can't hide. While running, he got onto a ship and there was a storm, probably a hurricane or monsoon or whatever it was, and something that God sent. And he was asleep in the ship. Now, everybody else on the ship was really kind of freaking out. And these people weren't even God's people. They didn't know God. But they were saying, hey, whatever God you pray to all the other people on the ship, pray now because we are going to be dead. And then they went and got Jonah and were like, how can you sleep? And Jonah just didn't care. Because when we run from, we ignore God, we shut him out of our life, we eventually get to a place where he's just off. He still loves you and pursues you, but you can shut him out to where it's very dangerous. And that's where Jonah was. He didn't care if he lived or died. He didn't care. And they woke him up and he said, hey, it's because of me, because I serve and worship and know the one true, only real God. And he's angry with me. And if you don't get me off this ship, you're all going to die because the ship's going to sink. So naturally, they were glad to throw Jonah off the ship. He was kind of trying. Yeah, Jonah was really trying to commit suicide. He just didn't care. See, when we turn God out of our life and we just reject him and reject him and reject him and ignore him and ignore him and ignore him, we get to a point where we're just hardened. And if you're there today, it's not too late, but you need to do something about it. So Jonah is thrown off of this ship. And see, we could look at that and say, yeah, God was punishing Jonah. That's why he was thrown off of the ship. No, it was actually God being merciful. Because when he was swallowed by this great fish, if you will, so that God could begin the process of giving Jonah another chance. It wasn't God being angry. You see, God's mean. That's right. That's what I think. Some of you, that's what I think of God. There was a storm and he threw him off the ship. Now he's been swallowed by a whale. How bad would that be? You guys ever went fishing and cleaned a fish? Gross. It would be bad to be in the belly of a big fish. But it was the 3 days that Jonah spent in there that he began to think about his life and to think about his spiritual life and to think about disobeying and running from God. God gives us, guys, these moments in life, these times in life, and we must be very careful to take those when we get them, which is why it's Easter today, 2015, April the 5th. It's not an accident that you're in church today. It's just not. You're here because God loves you and God is calling for you. So it's at this time, the prayer we had on the screen a moment ago, that Jonah prays that. And God talked to him again. He then obeys. He goes to Nineveh. He talks to the people about the Lord. They repent. They fast. They pray. The 120,000 people of Nineveh turn back to God. And so then what happens at the end of the book of Jonah? It kind of ends bittersweet because Jonah was bitter about it. He was angry. He was actually upset that they repented. And let me tell you guys something right now, just to interject into this sermon. Bitterness towards God, towards other people, just that angry, bitter, bad attitude. Let me just say, as your pastor, friends, there's not much more dangerous on planet Earth. If you have got bitterness, you've got to deal with it, to repent, to get rid of that in your life. Because here 120,000 souls were saved. And instead of being happy, a man who God had spared, shown mercy upon, saved his life, gave another chance, he had a bad attitude about it. So what do we take away from this on Easter 2015? There were two characters in this story. There's Jonah and there's God. And so we're not really going to focus on Jonah because he's not really a great role model. Did you just say somebody in the Bible is not a great role? I did say that about Jonah. He's discompassionate and disobedient. So we'll focus on our loving Heavenly Father and really the depth of His amazing love that He has for you and I with this story today. So instead of Jonah, let's just focus on the Lord on Easter. Just a couple quick points talking about God this story demonstrates that's relevant to your life is that God loves you even if you avoid Him. Jonah 1:3 tells us, if we'll hold that slide for 1 second, go back one. Just a reminder, as I mentioned a minute ago about being here today, today's a day to think about your life and soul. It's not just Easter and dress up a little nicer and come to church. Today's a day to think about your life and soul, and it might be the day. We don't know and you don't know. What are you willing to risk when it comes to eternity? Because remember, God loves you again, even if you avoid Him. God loves you even if you avoid Him. Next slide, please. If we can go to Jonah 1:3, it says, Jonah arose to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was running away from God. Go back, please, to 1. God loves you even if you avoid Him. He was running away from God. He disconnected from God on purpose. He's like, God, I want nothing to do with you. God still loved him. God still pursued him. You guys know that God can be avoided and ignored in this life. We're pretty good at doing it sometimes, aren't we? Now, every knee will bow and tongue confess, and we dare not risk going into our eternities without the Lord. But in this life, we can avoid and ignore Him. We can focus on the temporal, the right now, the how I feel, the what you feel, the what you want, that this life is yours. I just want to go get out of this building. I came to feel better about, I don't know why, all the reasons we come to church. But you know here today, if you've accepted or rejected the Lord, because there's nothing in between. You are walking with Jesus or you're not. And it's very easy to avoid and to ignore God in this life, to focus on the right now. We do it in all stages of life. Teenagers, we focus on ourselves. Now, human beings are all inherently selfish, but we focus on dates and ball games and getting out of the house and being rebellious. Now, all human beings are rebellious, but let's be honest. If you have a teenager, teenagers are rebellious. Can I get an amen? Whew, yeah, that's right. Oh, college. We go to college. We trade in our foundation, our personal faith for more freedom. Because this is just a time of life to have fun. I'm being exposed to all this different stuff. This stuff sounds all right. You mean truth and sin and morality are all relative? Well, I don't really have to watch how I live or what I do. As families, we don't go to church or stay connected in church. Other stuff becomes more important, and the effect of that we're seeing in our society. We're seeing that in Hoopston, Illinois. As adults, we get consumed with careers or sports or ball games or our kids or our hobbies or all kinds of other stuff. And you guys know I'm not one of these that thinks, oh, the world used to be great, it's worse now. There's always been sin. From the very beginning of time, we've been sinful. But I think it's a lot easier now with electronics to plug ourselves into and plug ourselves out of God. Time with God. Hearing that still small voice. Just all that stuff. And the more we ignore it, the harder it is to hear. But electronics make it simple. I could go home today and plug into Trivia Crack and just forget all about life. Play mindlessly for hours. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But it's easier now to avoid God. We can run from Him, but we can't hide from Him. My friends, we all get 168 hours in a week. 7 days, 24 hours a day. And we protect our time for what we value and for what our priorities are. And if I have to make the excuse one more time or hear one more Christian say why I don't come to church or come to get in my Bible or pray or do this, it's because I'm so busy. We're all busy. I'm busy. What's more important than the Lord? We all get 168 hours a week. I don't think we often tend to ignore God, but by default, God gets left and crowded out of our lives. And that's bad. We avoid God. And the result is, you can become a practicing atheist. Now hold on. A professing atheist says, I don't believe in God, that He exists. An agnostic says, there's definitely something, but I don't really care. But too many Christians have become practicing atheists, where 167 hours a week minus the one at church, we don't live like God exists. Why? He just loves you. He just wants to be part of your life. He wants the best for you. He cares for you. He sent His Son to die for you. Don't shut Him out. Don't avoid Him. Because God loves you. Jonah avoided God willfully. And even though he ran, God still pursued him. And if you're here today and you have been shutting God out of your life and avoiding Him altogether, at least in this area or that area, He still loves you. He still wants you. He's still calling for you. He's still pursuing you. God loves you even if you avoid Him. Point two, God loves you even if you disobey Him. Jonah 1:10 says, the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told him so. When the storm arose, the crew members asked, what have you done? And Jonah's like, I've just willfully disobeyed God. And so have you, and so have I. But God still loves you. He loves you so much that there's Easter. There's Jesus. Now, when you see this and say, God loves me even if I disobey Him, well, sweet, then He loves me a lot because I really am good at disobeying and sinning. And it's not what God means. God means that He loves you enough to make a way to forgive you of your sins and to bring you out of your sins by following Jesus Christ with your life. But that's a choice and a step you have to willfully take. God loves you even if you disobey Him. And we willfully disobey God, don't we? Come on. But God still pursues you because that's just the way He loves. Who wouldn't want to be in a relationship with a God like that? You disobey Him, you avoid Him, but He still loves you. He still calls for you. But again, remember, He does this because the last thing, it breaks God's heart, the thought of you going into eternity and being separated from Him. And that will happen unless you turn your life to Jesus Christ, say yes to His love, and turn and repent from your sins. Our third point. And sometimes we don't do this, and you don't do this because, let's be honest, you're angry with God. God loves you even if you're angry with Him. Because you've lost a loved one, or He didn't answer a prayer, or the world's messed up, or something bad happened. Somebody hurt you. I lost a job. Life's not fair. If you've been here over the last 5 weeks, that's one of the biggest lies the enemy puts on us who wants us angry with God. This world isn't right. From the very beginning, we sinned and it fell. There's disease, there's accidents, there's destruction, there's death. The world is messed up. But in the middle of this messed up world, God loves us. Jonah was angry with God. It displeased Jonah. He became angry. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Listen to this. So Jonah was like just sitting there. He was going to like die of heat stroke, etc. And God caused this bush to pop up and it gave him shade. And then like the next day, the shade went away and Jonah got mad. He wasn't thankful that he had some shade. He was angry it went away. Just angry and bitter. And Jonah said, yeah, it's right for me to be angry even to death. God knows at times you have questions. Maybe you've even been angry with Him, but be careful with that because He's God. Sometimes we're like little kids maybe throwing a temper tantrum. That's how Jonah was. He was angry that Nineveh turned to God and that God had compassion. Jonah should have been overjoyed, but instead he was so angry that God was merciful. Jonah seemed to be more concerned about lounging in the shade than the salvation of 120,000 people. And there's a lesson here for us, church, about our zeal and our concern and our passion and our care for the lost. Jonah was so concerned about the remote control and the iced tea that he had lost his passion for the lost. He ran and turned God off. And so 120,000 people were saved. And instead of amen, hallelujah, he was angry about it. I mean, God still loved him. Some of you here today, honestly, you're probably just angry with God. Stuff has happened in life. Pride has set in. We think we know better. You think you know better. Any of you that watched the basketball games last night, you watched them on TBS. That's a station that was founded by Ted Turner. Have you ever heard the name Ted Turner? Ted, when he was young, he had a sister that got cancer, and he prayed that God would heal her, and she didn't get the healing and died. And so he then decided that he was an atheist and there must not be a God, and has lived his entire life as an atheist. Anger towards God, bitterness towards God or others, let me promise you something, will always take you to bad and sad and destructive places. But even if you feel that way today, God still loves you. He still loves you. He still pursues you. He loves you and cares for you and calls for you because you're his kid. He made you. Jesus died on the cross for you. And maybe you're here today and you've fallen away from him. It's our fourth and final point. Maybe you've fallen away from him. I was a Christian once. I went to church when I was a kid. All this stuff. But I don't know. God gave Jonah a second chance and a third chance, and Jonah finally went to Nineveh and did what God wanted. And so you're here today, and even if you've fallen away from him, he still loves you and wants to forgive you and welcome you home. He wants you to make sure that you'll be with him, your loved ones, in heaven forever. God's attitude towards you if you've fallen away from him is, come back. It's pure, unimaginable love and mercy. That's my story, and really, it can be yours. And God wants you. He'll never give up on you. It's not too late right now, but at some point, it just will be. We all have a choice to make in accepting or rejecting the message of the cross and the message of Easter, which is that God is real, and he did make you and love you. And one day we will stand before him, and the only way we can do that and be right and be redeemed and be okay for our sins and for all of eternity is through Jesus. The only way. And right now in your life today, God has great plans for you. Jeremiah said, I know that I have good plans for you, life and a future and hope. But that verse goes on to say, only when you seek me. Some of you are here today because you just needed to hear this. Maybe you think God's given up on you, or you've fallen down, or you've just blown it too many times. The same sin, the same stuff. Some of you here today might even just feel numb. You feel like God couldn't love you. Let me tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. Every one of us here today has got something in our life that needs to be taken to the cross, that needs to be given up, that needs to be given to a God and said, God, I love you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Change me here. Change my life. I forgive this person. Please forgive me. I need help. You have something. When you came in today, right now, all of you underneath your seats, you've got a white piece of paper and a pen. Would you grab one? There's pens around you. There's paper. What I want you to do right now is very seriously and prayerfully take something in your life that needs to be given to God. Something that the love of God needs to take care of in your life. Some attitude, some feeling. Maybe you're just lukewarm, you've fallen away, you've ignored God, you're angry with God, you're mad, it's a sin, it's a relationship. Something that needs to change in your life, that you need the Savior of all time, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to forgive you for and set you free from. I want you to write that on the paper and fold it in half. And as I continue to preach for these next few minutes, I want you to pass them all to the edge of the aisles. If you're on this side, bring them all. If there's nobody sitting on your aisle seat, just pass them out and set it there. The ushers will get them in a moment so that I can have them. Not going to read them, don't worry. It's between you and the Lord. But guys, this is very, very, very serious here on Easter morning. Something in your life, and if you think you have nothing, write down pride. I'm serious. Something. And here in just a moment, for some of you, you're going to have a chance to pray and to say yes to a God who loves you and just simply wants to say, my son, my daughter, you're forgiven, you are saved, you are set free. I love you. You have eternal life. Jesus finished your forgiveness. He finished your salvation. He finished your redemption on the cross. And that Easter morning, he proved it when he rose from the grave. If you're here today and you're like, oh, there's just not me. You guys know that God doesn't lock us into our past failures. He doesn't look. When you repent and turn, it could have been something you did last night or this morning. When you repent or turn from it, God says, I am done, east from the west, depths of the sea. Look at the people just in the Bible. How many probably in this sanctuary today can testify to this? And again, be passing those out to the aisles where the ushers can get them. Think of the people just in the Bible that God didn't lock into their past failures. Think about Abraham. You guys ever heard of Abraham, the father of kind of all of us, the covenant Abraham? The father of Isaac and then Jacob? Abraham took some bad advice. Abraham fathered an illegitimate child. But then he came back to God, and God made him the father of more people than there are stars in the universe, in the sky. Think about Jacob. Jacob lied and cheated his own family. But Jacob came back to God, and God named him and renamed him Israel. As in, yeah, Israel. God's people. Think about David. David saw a woman, lusted after her. She was married. He had an affair with her. He then sent to make sure that her husband got killed in battle. Murderer and adulterer. But David repented and turned back to God and responded to God's love and mercy for him. And because of that, David's called a man after God's own heart. And if David hadn't responded and God hadn't loved and been merciful and forgiving to David, just like he wants to be to you and me, we wouldn't be here today. There'd be no Easter. Think about Peter, who denied the Lord with a curse. Denied him three times, even knowing him, and then became the primary messenger of the gospel of the early church. The best mission our people are coming back, and one is already back from our mission trip. The best missionary of all time was Paul, who murdered and hated Christians, but then he experienced Jesus, and it changed his life. God didn't lock these people into their past failures. He pursued them because he loves them. And the truth is, if you're here today and you are not forgiven, you have not turned your heart and life over to Jesus, he's pursuing you. And if you have, but you've fallen away, or you're angry, or you've avoided or ignored God, or he doesn't have the right place in your heart, life, family, he loves you and pursues you. 1 John tells us that God is love. Let me tell you something. That thing in your life, and most often it's just ourself. It's my life, baby. There's no love like the love of our Heavenly Father. Friends, listen, God's love is personal and persistent and constant. People in life will let you down. This world is broken. But His love never fails. And whatever's going on in your life today, maybe you've ignored God, you've avoided God, you've fallen away from Him, you've ran from Him, you're angry with Him, whatever it is, He's still calling for you. He values you, He loves you, and like He delivered Jonah from death to life, He wants to deliver you from death to life. And let me tell you, the greatest event in the history of all mankind is the empty tomb. It's the greatest evidence in human history that you are loved. Your life does matter. There is an eternity in one of two places for all of us here today. And because of Jesus, I rejoice in that. And you can too if you're not today. I want to encourage you today to make a heart response to the Word of God, to the love of God. Could this be the day that His love for you becomes real? Could this be the day that you respond to His love and submission by giving Him your heart and life, by repenting of a sin, by whatever it is that you wrote? And can we get the ushers to collect those, please? Whatever it is that you wrote on those pieces of paper, you understand that that was serious, that that is important. Could this be the Easter that you come away from this building here today, which is all this is, it's a building. We're the church. The church is people who love the Lord, who've accepted that, and God wants you to be part of that. And the ultimate reason that God calls out to you in His love is so that you won't have to spend forever away from Him. because nothing will ever satisfy like being with him. And he gives us a story in Luke chapter 16 of this. There was a man who died and went to hell. There was a man who rejected Jesus. I'm not going to be a Christian. Forget it. Or a man by perhaps just doing nothing rejected Jesus, because to say, I don't know, is to say no. It's a free gift of grace. And he died and he went to hell. And he was tortured. It's hell. And these guys came to him and he said, hey, can you just give me a cup of water so I can dip my finger in the water because I'm tortured in this place day and night forever? And they said, no. You had your chance in life. You did things your way. It was your thing. You were comfortable. You did whatever you wanted to do. And you just simply said no to a love, to mercy, to salvation, to the free gift of God, which is His grace. And the guy said, all right then, if it's too late for me, can you send someone to warn my family? They're still alive. Whatever they do, tell them they don't want to come here. I had that feeling in 2006, but nothing like this guy did. They don't want to come here. Do something before it's too late. And they said, well, they won't listen. And he said, if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll listen. And Abraham said, no, not really. Guys, you don't understand that we celebrate Easter and you're in church on Easter because Jesus rose from the dead and proved to you the reality of who He is and God's ultimate love for you. And that's the most incredible thing that's ever happened or ever will happen in human history until His second coming. But it also means it's on us to make a choice to say yes to God's love, to say yes to His forgiveness and to His mercy and grace. Would you guys stand with me here today?